Danger, of course, the title of the series. And let's go back to Numbers chapter 22, and we'll try to just be as brief as we can with this. I want to try to give you a little bit of time back this morning. I told Brother Daniel, I've got to watch it, you know, putting so much in Sunday morning. That really took its toll this morning. Hopefully it didn't show too bad, but I'm fine. Just I was really tired, you know, afterwards. But we talked about the major point we looked at is anger comes many times from tensions of unresolved guilt. Anger often comes from tensions of unresolved guilt. And we looked also at Cain, of course, having the wrong sacrifice, and all he needed to do was get things right with God. That's all he had to do, and everything would have been fine. In Numbers chapter 22, we find, of course, the great story of Balaam. And he was wrong and working against God. Instead of repenting and turning to God, he turns his wrath upon his beast of burden. And it's quite funny, but it's very real. And what's worse is he's actually talking back to his donkey. He's that honky donkey he was talking about later with Clayton, and they had a good time with that. And the Bible says in verse 27 of Numbers 22, when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said to the ass, so this is one of those times. You certainly want to be a fly on the wall to catch this one. Because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee. Well, what has that poor donkey done? Nothing but carry him all these years. And the ass said unto Balaam, and I am not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day. If was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. He saw the angel of the Lord and standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. He bowed down his head, fell flat on his feet. Of course, the principle I gave you last time explained in Proverbs 22:28, a lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. Then we looked also at King David. He got into a lot of trouble, of course, and should have been off to war with the army, but stayed around and got in trouble with another man's wife and laid with her. She became pregnant, then went about to kill her very husband, and that's in 2 Samuel chapter 11. And then, not only that, we'll just skip that story there. You're very familiar with that, but then when the prophet Nathan comes in with a story. Are we on, or is this not working right? Or okay. Nathan confronts David, of course, with a story about a rich man with many animals, a poor man with one little lamb. And the traveler, of course, to the rich man, instead of taking out of his own flock, he goes and he takes it wrongfully out of his neighbor's with only one little lamb and use that instead. And then Nathan gave the story to David, and we see in verse 5 of chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, and David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that has done this thing shall surely die. Shall surely die. Now, that's excessive. That's, you know, that's not let level heads or, you know, prevail. David was angry, and he was way too angry to come up with good, solid conclusions, because the law did not allow for that. The law exactly told us what that should be, but anger blinds you to justice, and so many times that happens. And sometimes it's not the action. More often than not in society, it's a reaction. It's a reaction that takes place. Some wrong is done, and then the overreaction is worse and compounds the problem. And we see that so many times, and even people who are good people will overreact to some circumstance, and they, you know, make it, muddy the water and make it so much worse than it ever should be, instead of finding the right place to land. And the law was very clear about that when in Exodus chapter 20, 2, if a man shall steal an ox or a sheep and kill it, and sell it, he shall restore five oxen for an oxen and four sheep for an ox, or four sheep for a sheep. So David's judgment was to kill the man. That's anger speaking. That's anger speaking. That's not justice. That's not justice. That's anger. And we certainly don't want that. And I wouldn't want that in somebody who's sitting as a jury in judgment of me. I wouldn't want somebody who wants to do that. But stick to the law. And that's what the judge is there for, to try to temper everyone from getting into a mobocracy. You know, so like, how would you like your jury to be Antifa? Well, every one of them are mad. They're just off their rockers mad. You don't want those kind of people setting a judgment. And so I could just talk about an impossible circumstance if a judge had to try to keep a jury of Antifa members in check. Well, there's no check with them. They're already mad. They were mad when they showed up. And so you don't want that. It's a horrible place for anyone to be. And then we looked also at Saul when he's eyeing David in 1 Samuel chapter 18. And then I want to give you this verse again. The man, and it's Proverbs 19:19, a man of great wrath shall suffer punishment. For if thou deliver him, yet thou must do it again. Why is that? Because he's addicted to his own anger. He's addicted. What's worse than just being angry? Becoming addicted to your own anger. And then you don't know how to function. And they think, well, I'm being dysfunctional because I'm not. You're dysfunctional because you're already an angry person. You're dysfunctional. Years ago, when I was taking such courses and all over here at the university, you know, they talked about how many families and how many individuals are just simply dysfunctional people. Well, I'm afraid to tell you that number's been going up. It's just been going up. And this is a big problem. And our enemies, and basically even our enemies from afar, are fomenting this anger to destroy America from within. And that's a real, real thing. And if we're not careful, we'll participate in that because we're not backing up and finding a reasonable place to land. All right. let me try to give you a little bit of an example about that. I mentioned this a few weeks ago now. I don't know how many weeks ago it was. But after all the COVID stuff that happened, you had people right up front. They were mad about the government. We're not going to do anything the government suggests, you know, all that kind of thing. Okay, fine. You look at that like a church administrative matter. We tried to find a reasonable place to land, a reasonable place to land on that, taking into account the medical personnel, you know. And listen, if somebody's going to try to give me medical advice, I probably am going to weigh more heavily those who have a medical background. I mean, Lord help you, you know, and God bless you. But, you know, I mean, if that's not your field, I'm sorry. I'm probably not going to, when it comes to something like this, I'm probably not going to take your counsel. Okay, I know, I've read a lot. Where have you read it? On the internet. You know, I mean, I know my field. And I will tell you, anybody that's got their theological training off the internet, God help us. God help us. Now, I don't know your field, but I imagine it's somewhat the same. You go out there, you have to tell me that's your field and that's what you know. I know this. This is what I know. And God help a church that has a pastor who is trained on the internet these days, or any day, as far as I know, instead of going off to a proper, vetted institution that has a long-term reputation of credibility and stewardship over the word. You know what I'm saying? You want a preacher that got his degree in a bubblegum machine. All right, you just don't want that. I promise you, you don't want that. You'll get bubblegum theology is what you're going to get. You don't want that. And so, but again, people get so addicted to their way of life, and if anger has become such an entrenched way of life for them, they don't know any different. They're just angry all the time, and they don't know any different. And if you deliver them from that, they'll go right back to it again. It's sort of like a hog in the slop. He's going to find the mud pile, and he's going to get right back in it. All right? Now, we can become very angry at others and even at God and take our anger out on others. And they become not the target, but they are the secondary target because we feel like we can't really take it out on God. I mean, after all, God's bigger than us. And so, but we're really mad at God. And a man one time told me, he says, I owe you an apology. I've been really mad at you for well over a year. And I said, why is that? And well, he walked into my office and said, I'm a teacher. I said, okay, God bless you. He said, well, I'm a teacher of adults, and God bless you. Because I didn't roll over and play dead and kick my toes up in the air. You know, he's mad at me. He said, well, just, and he came in, you know, to his credit, a year and a half later, and said, I was so mad at you. And he said, then I realized one day, you're doing your job. I mean, what kind of shepherd would you be if I just rolled over and just gave you a Sunday school class when, number one, you're not worthy of that? And number two, you're trying to bully me into it. I told you before, I don't deal with bullies too well. So that's unresolved. And more often than not, what you find is really they're not mad at the preacher. They're really mad at God because they feel like they have received an injustice and I haven't been given the opportunities that I deserve and all of that type of stuff. And they have their underwear, underclothes in a wad, you know. I dodged that one, didn't I? Probably not, but at least the thought's in your head, so I probably didn't do so well there. Afib. But we can be angry at God, but take it out on other people. And oftentimes that happens. Oftentimes that happens. I asked the person there one day, I said, if you're so upset with me, and they had tore into me, I said, if you're upset with me, how angry must you be at yourself? This is a grown person now. Capable individual. And they started crying. I said, how did you know? I just went to that old saying, it's not my first rodeo, you know. I couldn't think of any other smart thing to say. But that's true. You know, often what is being manifested is a red herring. That's not the real issue. And you have to kind of dig into, well, y'all talk about how I peel the onion. You have to peel the onion back to find the true issue and deal with that. Of course, there's always hope. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, how often can we go back and ask the Lord to forgive us? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. Stay with it. Is His hand too short? It cannot save. Is His ear too heavy? He cannot hear. He loves us. He loves us. And if your child comes to you, I don't care, 10,000 times, and they are sincere, and they say, Mama, please forgive me. Daddy, please forgive me. If you're good people, you will forgive them. You will forgive them. And if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more does the Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to His children? So you just keep going back. Go back to that old rugged cross at the foot of the cross. Now, let me mention this and talk about this a little bit, about a tone of voice and putting other people in their place. Some people are all too zealous. They can't wait to choose somebody out and put other people in their place. And sometimes, now I'm not just talking about the bad people of the world. I'm talking about the good people of this world that really stand already head and shoulders over others and think they have been justified by the supposed righteous indignation, and they think they get to get up on their high horse and just tear into somebody else, and God is pleased with that. Probably not so fast, sweetie. Probably not so fast, sir. But many times it's the tone of voice. Have you ever witnessed someone relating a story about themselves when they had confronted somebody else and it's almost like they're doing it all over again? I mean, they're telling the story and they're getting just as mad as they were when the episode actually took place. And it's almost like they are so very happy to tell you about this and also very happy to manifest their anger at the same time, the same level of anger that they had. And what I said to them, see? You know what I'm saying? Okay. You got problems. You got real problems with that. And they're highly animated. Highly animated. You know, I thought about this. This is not fair, but I thought about Miss Tony because she can do this better. Everybody, you know. That's not really fair towards her. But you know what I mean? People are just fuming mad. And this is not even where it happened. This is not even the person they were talking to. But they're rehearsing that again, and it stirs up the same level of wrath and anger. I mean, you're standing there, you're their good friend, and they're tearing into you. Right? You've experienced that, haven't you? It's pretty common in life. Well, they tell the story of what took place, perhaps even days, and this is what gets me, sometimes months and years. Years ago, you still haven't settled down. 6 months later, and you're still mad. 6 months later, stewing in your juices, my daddy would say. Stewing in your juices. They not only get angry, but they're proud of their anger. So they feed the anger beast within because they feel empowered by that anger itself. They may cant their head to one side or another or just, you know, start getting into it, but you'll see the veins start to pop out. I mean, you say, man, hey, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. Don't hit me, you know. I'm the innocent one, don't hit me. But they're lashing out. Become very animated in retelling these stories, somewhat took place. Let me read you some scripture here. Proverbs 21:24. Proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. That's what they're dealing. They're wrathful people, and they're proud of it. And they're dealing with it. They're dealing just like, listen, they're just as guilty as a drug dealer. They're passing along the drug of anger. They're commending anger to you by this manifestation. They're saying, get you some, man. This is really good stuff. And it's like cocaine. It'll kill you. It'll kill your relationships. It'll kill your marriage. It'll kill your children and raising children. And what you'll raise up will be hellions, not godly children. Matthew 23:22, the Lord says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. So we should follow the admonition, understanding that we ought to take anger very seriously, especially when it comes from ourselves. Be very concerned about the mote in our own eye, the beam in our own eye. Now, 1 Timothy 2:8 says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath. What is contrary to holy hands without wrath? In other words, if you're going to lift up clean hands unto the Lord in holy service to the Lord, it cannot contain wrath. So if your Christianity is a wrathful Christianity, they're not holy hands. Now, so these people, you know, up there in Kansas, Brother Steve, what is that, that church that's up there? They're just radical lunatics. You know, I'm sorry to affiliate that with Kansas. They don't even deserve to be in any state. Westboro Baptist Church. They're not Baptist. They're not even God's people. God's people don't act like that. And they think, well, this is all righteous indignation. No, what this is wrath. Wrath. That's all that is. That's all it is. It's wicked. Absolutely wicked. Well, they're dealing in proud wrath. Now, you can make your case, but you don't have to do that. But they're proud of it. And that's their MO. That's the way they want to be identified. There's so much about that is wrong. Of course, Scripture says lifting up holy hands without wrath. Already, if they read that one verse, there would be a revolution change in that church. Because they're wrathful people. They're wrathful people. And if you ask the individuals that are doing this demonstration, you walked up to them and you asked them privately what degree did they would go to kind of get their way, it would be illegal. It'd be a crime. What they would do to their fellow human being because they're guilty of something wrong. Oh, of course, they're guilty of sin, but they don't want anybody to do that to them. Right? Not at all. But we ought to lift up holy hands. There's no way for us to be both wrathful and holy at the same time. There's no way. You're one or the other, but you can't be both at the same time. What is the Aristotle, the principle of non-contradiction? You can't be A and B and non-B at the same time and in the same sense. I think that's it. That's perfect. Now, I don't know why he came up with A and B, because you could make it more simple. Just A cannot be non-A at the same time and in the same sense. It can't be at the same time. And if there's a difference, it's not the same. And so when you look at wrath and you look at holiness, the two are like oil and water. The two don't mix. Not with us, they don't. With human beings, they don't mix. So if you're going to lift up holy hands, they have to be wrath-free. If you're going to be responding to stimuli that even draws you into being passionate about something like pro-life, you cannot go to a point that you molest those who are guilty. And think, well, I'm justified. No, you're just as bad as they are. Because you're guilty of wrath and guilty of great sin. We're supposed to lay that aside. Now, when it comes to speaking, Boy, that's where it gets a lot of us, and I'm guilty here, I know. My mother would say in her wisdom, Steve, it's not what you said, but how you said it. Now, if you think I'm bad now, you ought to have known me years ago. But God's still working on me, and I imagine He's still working on you. But how we say things opens windows into our soul, and opens windows into our soul for other people, and whatever's inside starts oozing out all over individuals. And if we have poison ivy all in our spirit, we ooze poison ivy all out over everybody. If we have strep throat, the strep throat oozes out all over everybody. Whatever's inside comes pouring out of the window of our spirit. And it reveals a spirit that is angry, a spirit that will stir up strife in the lives of others. Now, since all this with my heart issues, I've noticed even good things and provocative things, but even like war movies and things like that, you know, I was looking at that. I kind of try to, like, going into Memorial Day, I try to kind of gear up by viewing some old tapes and things like that to kind of give me a feel. A preacher needs a feel, you know, where he can put his heart into his messages. To me, it's just a far better dynamic than just going cold turkey and just talking about historical, somebody wrote this. No, get a feel for what you're talking about. Get a feel for what it takes, you know, in D-Day. There's new, you know, documentary out there, and all these young men, and there's some of them, they're just scared, slapped to death, but they keep moving forward. They keep moving forward. It's an amazing thing and accomplishment that took place that day, or those days, before they even got to the first city. I mean, once they got there, they had a lot more advantage, but you go back and you look at that, I mean, it looked like hell was going to open up and just devour them. And it could have easily happened. It could have easily done that. I think by the hand of God, it didn't happen. That's my contention. But this world is already a world of strife. And when we open up our spirit and we add to that, all we're doing is throwing gasoline on a fire. Just throwing gasoline on a fire. And I'm very careful, by the way, what protest I will engage in. I'm very careful, especially because I'm just not anybody. I'm a pastor. I represent you and I represent the Lord. And so I'm very cautious about being caught up in a protest movement, because if I can't control, you know, the spirit of that protest. Years ago, when we were having our first baby, of course, Caselyn, and we found out just very late, very, very late, that our doctor was secretly and privately doing abortions on the side. And Dory called me up, of course, very upset, crying, just what in the world to do. And I called him up. We were trying to make arrangements for his partner, and he lied to his partner. He told his partner he wasn't doing anything like that. And it was too late for us to change horses in the middle of the stream. And we were really close to for her giving birth to Caselyn. And, you know, I mean, trying to comfort your wife, okay, no, he would not cause harm to you. I mean, there's never a question about that. But when I called him up and we talked about trying to get the other doctor to step in and become our baby doctor for Dory, for Caselyn, he was quite upset. And he was upset at the reaction of supposed Christian people who were attacking him and attacking his car outside when he would drive back up to his clinic. He had been exposed on the news, and that's how he found out. And he made mention about, yeah, but just don't throw tomatoes. So I guess somebody was throwing better tomatoes than rocks, I guess. But you see what I mean? You have a reaction, you have a stimulus to kind of spawn you, be angry, something's, you know, but sin not. And so if you're out to attack the abortion clinic or throw tomatoes or rocks, I'm out. I'm out. Okay? If you're wanting to, listen now, understand, don't throw the baby out of the bathwater. If you're wanting to attack the Muslims because of the Quran thing, I'm not your man. You say, well, I'm going to demand we're going to put Bibles in there. Well, two wrongs don't make a right. You see what I'm saying? And if we're not careful, I'm not talking about bad people, I'm talking about good people. Good people can easily overreact and become angry and think they have justification for that anger. Well, it's either you're being holy or you're being unholy. You're being wrathful or you're being holy, and you can't be both. at the same time. And how we say things is important. Now, I know we can't control everything, and even in a group, you know, even a pastor or representative may not have a full sentiment, but if you have the opportunity to make a more organized appeal, rational appeal, and you have a spokesperson, and that spokesperson is representing the whole of the group, and they have adopted a paragraph or something like that, I'm far more willing to participate in something like that that's being coordinated and thought out in a legitimate response of a difference. Now, you call me up and I may participate if I have the time. Okay? Does that make sense? Now, I think if you jump in before you look and know what's going on, you'll regret that sooner or later. And let me put it to you this way. If you want to be a long-term pastor, or you want to have a kid or a grandchild that grows up to be a long-term pastor of the same church, don't encourage that first, because they won't last long. They will not last long, because they will allow the angry people to control the church. They control the church. And same thing, Brother Brub, same thing. If we're not careful, like with the COVID thing. Well, bless God. Wait a minute. Now, hold on. Tap the brakes. Now, we all can look back and say, was there more to that was hidden and wrong and Fauci and all of that? Without question. That was so. But we don't have a justification to go mad. I mean, if somebody needs to be held responsible for doing wrong or even criminal wrong, so be it. But this overreaction stuff, and we call it Christian, is not good. It is not good. It is not supported by the Scripture. And I'm just as passionate about things, I think, as most people are. Probably a little bit more on some things. But angry people are sort of like the lynch mob. It's the mobocracy, the forefathers even of our nation. They didn't want that. The mob showing up. And listen, Christians with their King James Bible can be a mob. They can be a mob, nothing more than a low-down mob demanding their way. That's unbecoming. It's unbecoming. It has no place in the righteous children of God. God help us. Angry people. Stirring up strife even more. Proverbs 28:25 says, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat, blessed. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. It smooths it down. Listen, hold on, brother. I understand you're mad. Soft answer turneth away wrath, see? I understand you're mad, but come now, let us reason together. See? That's where Christians ought to be. Discerning, thoughtful, wise. Proverbs 29:22, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgressions. Aboundeth. He's not just guilty of a few. Man, he's loading the pickup up with them. Abounding in transgressions. That man will be so full of wrong, you don't want to be around him. Proverbs 30:33, surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter. You churn the milk, you know what you're going to get? Butter. Work your fingers through the bone, you know what you're going to get? Bony fingers. And the wringing of the nose bringeth forth blood. So the forcing of wrath bringeth forth strife. Again, it's this justification of wrath. Where do we get this idea? Well, unfortunately, some preachers are condoning it by the teaching of righteous indignation. That's not what the Bible teaches. My responsibility as a preacher is to dig the truth out and then deliver it to you. It's your responsibility to consume it and take it in. Strife will be the result. We know this one very much so. We've had a lot of fun with it through the years. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman. That's true. Yet a soft answer turneth away wrath, and grievous words stir up anger. Now, I had some more to go, but I thought we'd just end right there for tonight. And what I'd like to do, just to close up here, and I told you I'd try to give you some time back, and here I am. I finally kept my word. Is just ask if there's anybody that would like to share something, what you've learned out of this series that's been a help to you. Because when somebody says something, usually it represents, you know, quite a bit more than just that one individual. That you think maybe you thought about this quite a bit, you've leaned under that oak tree as I'm talking about, you know, many times, and you've put your mind to it, you've meditated on it. I think it was Brother Gabe, you know, for most of humanity, the history of humanity, they didn't have Bibles they could just run to every afternoon and read about something. They didn't have that. So there's far more of meditating on the Word of God throughout most of history than actual reading of the Word of God. You know what I'm saying? And these types of issues, we need a lot of meditation on it. We need a lot of, You know what I mean? Because we have to think about it. Who's it? Thomas Sowell, he said, you know, even brilliant people act dumb when they don't sit down and think about it. So, you've had plenty of time to think about some things here in your own personal life. And this is not one of those things I'm asking you to just broadcast your dirty laundry or anything like that, or talk about your mama, you hated your mama and all. You're more of an example about what not to do. I'm talking about in the Spirit of Christ, something you've learned through this that's been a help to you. Okay? The floor is yours. Who wants to go first? Okay, Sherry? You remember Barbara Phillips, I know, she'd say, ain't fitting. It's unbecoming. It's unbecoming. Good. Okay. Someone else? Nobody? John? Yeah.
Because the only thing you have done was just act ugly and miserable and caused yourself to be even angrier. And then a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this morning, something you said to me after the service that really tied it all together. And I've been focusing on where Christ says we're to crucify ourselves daily and follow Him, what you were saying to me about
Amen. Good, John. Very good. Anyone else? Gabe?
You used an illustration a few weeks back about a father, and there's things that are that only a father is to take care of, and a young man is to leave those up to the father. And one of those you mentioned was God, and that only God is to be the one to have anger, and we need to leave that with him. And that was just a simple illustration, but very powerful, that there's no right for me to have anger. That's God's.
Something, you let me take care of that. Your daddy, father, Father God, say, you let me take care of that. And that's a good place to be for a young man. Okay, good. Good, or an old lady. Okay, well, that's good. All right, James. Yeah, traitors.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it created a lot of heartache and trouble for the rest of my time as art, for myself and my partner, because we did the right thing on someone who was angry. And how that affects you,
yeah,
when you don't think you're really involved, you are involved.
It's even good people. I mean, but he's peddling wrath. He's peddling. He's passing it out. And, you know, the subordinate officers, if they're not careful, they'll start feeding on that. And so the trouble just expands throughout the departments, right? Police officers, that's the way it works. It just creates more havoc, more problems for management and then internal services and all of that. Okay, good. This is really good. Who else? Can somebody? Nobody else? Okay. Well, we'll do the elder first. We'll do Brother Andrew first, and then we'll come to Colin. All right? Stand up, would you? We can project a little bit better. Huh? Oh, Colin's, well, you're better looking then. We'll just go with that one. Yeah, the mom over there.
You just, when you talked about how if you're angry, the kids do that, and in turn, they're going to copy that behavior. And so if you're remembering that, what I do, they're always watching. It is easy to get provoked when dealing with kids, especially when they're in their family. So just keeping that in mind is pretty convicting. So just remember how I react.
Little eyes are always watching, always. Little ears are always listening. All right, now the elder, Brother Colin.
Being exposed to anger in different forms, like how it's manifested, like language, you know, the spittle, the red face, I thought, I never want to be like that. And so I'm not like that per se, and I thought in my heart, well, I'm better than those people, and I'm not an angry man. But through your series, I realized God's word and how it cuts right to the heart.
Yeah.
And so I appreciate the series in that, you know, again, justifying my anger, there is no justification for anger in a man's life. And so just the whole series, you know, I'll probably go back and listen to it over and over again.
It's like one of those things where they call it, you know, we say if we hide it, it's not there, but it is there.
Right.
And I think sometimes the people who know that it's there the most are us. We know it's there. And we try to hide it instead of trying to get help and deal with it, which is a far wiser course than to take. Okay? Go ahead. Dory?
Is it okay if I get something out of your sermon?
I hope so.
I think when you mentioned the fact that anger is a choice, I had to stop and say, oh, sometimes I choose to get angry. And, you know, driving home from Edward Jones and Garland and all that traffic, feeling late and frustrated, and I've got to get where I'm going, and I can't get because there's cars from all the way across the bridge, and that animosity and the anger and just the frustration that feels inside. And I just stopped and said, I don't have to be angry at all these cars. I don't have to be. I'm going to choose not to be. And it made me stop and think about goodness, that little simple thing. And I wasn't mad when I got home. That sure looks a lot better.
Yeah. Well, the sign down the road says, if you'll be angry at the traffic, there's a man to blame. You know, yeah, I don't know who they are. But, you know, be angry with them. You don't like the traffic? Well, you know, you're the one to move to a Metroplex. You know, it's a major city in the United States and the world. I mean, we're right in the middle of it, right on the edge of it anyway. But you're not going to get away. It's like, well, I love ministry, but I hate people. And that's not going to work out so good. Yeah, that's not going to work out so good. I mean, I've known some preachers that were like that. They're just mad people, and they will make you mad. Okay? All right, anybody else? Going once? Going twice? All right, Brother Daniel. The case in point I used with officers, you know, which you have to control the environment. And people say, well, they were just screaming at me. They were mad. You don't know their heart. How do you know? They're trying to control that hostile environment. Go ahead. I would offer, you know, in light of that, Brother Colin, it's better if we keep something within inside instead of blowing up on other people. But it's better to deal with it even on the inside of ourselves, you know, because you can destroy your own life just as others can destroy your life. That's what I was talking about. You know, if you're mad at me and you're just lashing out at me, you're a preacher and I have fed you, I have given you the Word of God, I have loved you, I have been there when you're in medical issues and emergencies. Why are you mad at me? And I'm thinking like, I'm like that ass, you know, why are you mad at me? Well, they're really not mad at you. You're just in the way. And they take it all out on you. And if you're so mad at me, how much you must hate yourself. And I mean, talking about a grown man just like that starts crying. How did you know? How did you know? And I said, you're brutal with yourself. He said, yes, I am. You know, if God loves you, he ought to love you. You ought to love you. Yeah. Not a point of selfishness, but a point of caring for your person. Okay? All right. Yes, sir. It's been a long time. I think I'm familiar with the story. Yeah. You know, again, we talked about we are our own worst enemies. No, we're not. Satan is our worst enemy. But we can run a close second at times. Amen. That's good. All right, let's stand together for prayer. Clayton, were you raising your hand? You have something to say? Man, I think he was just stretching. All right, we'll just go ahead and be dismissed in prayer. And you're getting out 2 minutes early. I keep my word. Pray for one another. We've got some issues in the church family, health issues still going on. Pray for Brother Houston. He's got some further tests and all. Today he's got some blood issues. Platelets are low. And so there's always something, you know, going on. And pray for Miss Susan and them. They're up there, of course, with the new baby and all of that. Miss Kristen felt bad. She was feeling bad this morning. And the girls, that, of course, they've had babies in their nursing. I said it the right way this time. They're nursing, you know, instead of the other.
Yeah.
And they can't take just medication for everything. And it's passed along then to the baby. So I told Miss Jeannie, I said, you let her know that we dwell around here with some knowledge. And nobody's going to wrongfully judge her because she had a shower yesterday and then she don't show up to church today. You just do what you need to do to take care of yourself and your baby. Amen? You do that. We'll see you when you get through it, and we'll go on with the better joy of the Lord. Okay, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother Kevin Boat, would you dismiss us, please, sir?